Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. We're going to continue today in John's Gospel, Chapter 8, the very famous chapter. I guess the whole of John's Gospel, like all the Gospels, are famous, but this chapter is famous for the intensifying and kind of full-on conflict between Jesus and the religious rulers of his time, the Pharisees and the leaders who were coming after him. If you didn't have a chance to tune into the program yesterday, day before, I encourage you to go to those programs. It's a great setup for what I'm talking about here today, and it'll help give you a better feel for what we're going to take up today. Best way to do that, to have access to it, is download the Renewal Ministries app from the App Store. It'll give you access whenever you want it to this program, Sister Ann's programs, our TV programs, and all that we're producing, all our videos our team is producing. And we want to make these things accessible to you in the easiest way possible. Also consider downloading the Ave Maria app and all the fantastic programming that's here on Ave Maria Radio as well. Okay, so the church gives us today in the gospel a continuation of the chapter 8, beginning in verse 31, chapter 8, verse 31. And the conflict between the Pharisees and Jesus, as I said, is intensifying, and he's revealing himself that he's from the Father. He's told them already many times, and that he's simply doing what God the Father, the one they say they're serving, has called them to do. They keep rejecting him. They keep trying to cause him to stumble, and they're not hearing him. They're not accepting him. They're not listening to him. And Jesus' words for them are very harsh and very direct. And it's a dimension of Jesus' personality that in this season of Lent, it's really helpful for us to see the whole Jesus and to hear his words and to be able to be touched by some of the shocking things that Jesus says and how Jesus relates and diagnoses the human condition, God's plan, the sin problem, and how he relates to it and the mercy he wants to give and what he does when people don't receive his mercy but presume on it, that kind of thing. So here we are. Verse 31, it says, Jesus then said to the Jews who had believed in him. Now, this is different than the Pharisees that he just was embattled with. These are the ones who, among the Jewish people at the time, received Jesus' word, some of the first believers, probably. If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Another one of those astounding sentences from Jesus. This is packed. Now, they've received his word. His word is clear. His word was, and he'll repeat it in John various times. I want to say it a variety of times, hopefully today and tomorrow, so we get it. Jesus says, first of all, that God the Father that he's revealing is the one true God. There is no other. And that Jesus is his son. And then we're seeing here in John the unfolding of the Trinitarian understanding of who God is. God is a communion of persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and have been one for all eternity. And it's through them and through the initiative of the Father for the Son, through the Son, that all things were made. So he says, if you continue in my word, the word of the gospel, the word to repent, call the repentance that Jesus spoke so strongly, to turn to him, to follow him. He said, if you continue in this word, you are truly my disciples. Here's one of those places where Jesus, he being the one who defines and gives us understanding of what is a disciple. Who can be called a disciple? Well, here he makes it clear that a disciple is one who has walked and received his word, has walked in and received his word. And he said, as you do that, you will know the truth as you keep coming. He's promising this. Here's a promise from God. If you've been baptized into Christ, if you're saying yes to him, now remember, it's not a test of perfection. I mean, the Lord's called us to be perfect as our Heavenly Father is perfect, but we can't do it on our own. And it's something he's promised to do, and he is committed, Jesus, to presenting us perfect before the Father. And so our part is to keep following him, keep seeking him, keep abandoning ourselves to him, obeying him, and keep growing. And, you know, the saints are models for us of what can actually happen in this life, how radical a transformation can take place. That's so encouraging to see. It's amazing. God's story that he wants to write of our lives if we let him. But whatever doesn't get finished in this life, if we die in a state of grace, he'll finish in the period of purgation before we enter the Father's presence, because nothing can enter the Holy of Holies, the presence of the living God, that is not holy. And that's what's meant by perfection. And Jesus is going to perfect us before it's all over and present us perfect before the Father. But we have to respond to him. So Jesus is saying, okay, the word, the living word that's been put into them that they've received has power. And it has power because the Spirit is at work. And it's a transforming power. See, it said, you'll know the truth, which means you'll come out of darkness, and this truth will make you free. So much talk in the world always about freedom. Everybody wants their freedom. You know, we all as Americans think we're living in freedom, and certainly we are. Politically, there's more freedom in this country than there is in a lot of different countries around the world. And that's a dimension of it. But Jesus is talking about something much deeper, much more total. He's talking about becoming freed of the domination of the world, the flesh, and the devil, and the powers of sin and death that are at work in every human heart. There's no political party or political system that can bring that about. He's talking about enormous degree of interior freedom, like a full transformation, and then learning how to move not from pride, not from me first, but to move from the core of our being, which is being healed and transformed, and moving from a heart which has been filled with God's grace, and we begin to move in love toward God and love toward neighbor. That's where Jesus is directing us. And then the people answered them, and these are the ones who believed. He said, we're the descendants of Abraham and have never been in bondage to anyone. How is that you say you will be free? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. Here he's giving a teaching on sin and why sin is so important. They're saying, wait a minute, we're no longer in bondage. We left Egypt. We made our way through. We came to the promised land. We're not a people of bondage. And Jesus said, let me take you deeper into understanding what I mean by bondage and freedom. And then he teaches them about sin. If anyone who sins, he says, is a slave to sin. The slave does not continue in the house forever. The son continues forever. So what he's saying to them is, what I've come to do, he's the son. He is the son of God. And he's coming to, through his teaching, his life, his passion, death, and resurrection, his ascension into glory, and his being seated at the right hand of the Father, is all meant to move us to those who open their hearts to his word and receive it, to bring us from slavery to freedom, from living as a slave to living as a son, as a child of God, which is what we're made to be from the beginning in God's purpose. And sin has caused us to be orphans, slaves, lost, and he's come to deal with that and to change it. He then goes on to say in verse 36, so if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. So who can make us free? Who can make the Jewish people who are listening to Jesus free? Who can make any human being free in the way that Jesus is describing it, which is the only real ultimate freedom? It's the Son of God who comes to set us free. Because it's the Son of God who lives a life of total, radical, complete freedom on the earth. And he exercises that freedom to fulfill the first and the second commandment, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love his neighbor as himself. And he walks the walk we were all meant to walk, but because of our slavery to sin and death and the world, the flesh, and the devil, we fall short of it. We can't rise to it. We can't accomplish that. That interior freedom he's talking about is not a human work. It's not just somebody who just decides, okay, I'm going to concentrate on this and I'm going to make this happen in my life. No, it's the Son who has to set us free. And that begins by his death on the cross. Well, really his teaching and the light that he begins to bring, any of that is baby steps toward freedom, but it's his death on the cross that was the deed that brought down the whole enslaving structure of sin in the world that dominates the human heart. He brought down the powers of the work of the world, of flesh, and the devil, and exposed the reality of it, and he conquered it. He swallowed up death in victory, which is the final enemy that's set against the human race. And so he's the only one that can bring us into the freedom that's his freedom. He's the Son of the Father, and he's come under the Father's command, for God so loved the world that he sent Jesus, to bring us back to the Father, because the Father wants a family. The Father in particular wants to draw a race of people together who've been born again by the Son, to give to the Son for all eternity a bride. Jesus is the bridegroom. At the end of the New Testament, book of Revelation, it's a marriage. And God the Father is preparing a bride for his Son to live in communion with Jesus, to be his companions, and to be with him and with the Father forever. And Jesus' pathway brings about the full freedom, the fulfillment of the very destiny of the human race. You will be free indeed if we surrender to the Son. So that's partly what Lent's all about, is we come to Jesus with our baggage, with our enslavement, with the lies that go through our head. And this is important to see. Jesus is bringing a different storyline into the life of those who are hearing him. He wants us to see it. He's calling them to a destiny that they're just beginning to see and grasp, a whole new storyline, a higher storyline for their life. And the devil wants to resist that. He works overtime to do that. He works at overtime to block it and to keep us in a negative storyline about our lives. And just think of all the kind of things that go through your own mind and heart, like how hard life is, how badly you've been treated in your life, preoccupied and anxious about things we don't have, constantly aware of how much we failed, how worthless sometimes my life feels, how disappointed. I'm defined by my history. My history determines my destiny. I've done things that I will never be able to get free from, and I walk in self-condemnation. I walk in that kind of slavery. All these things that are present in a fallen world in our hearts that Jesus has come to set us free from, and he wants to elevate us to step into, to believe what he's saying to us. That's why the word makes us clean. That's why the word makes us new. And this living word has power if you give your whole life to it, if you receive it for yourself and don't set yourself outside it like, well, no, I don't qualify. And again, don't despise small beginnings. Baby steps in love toward God really matter. Just because you have weak love and I have weak love at times doesn't mean it's no love at all or that it's hypocritical. God wants to help us become full lovers of him, but that comes through time and transformation. Jesus goes on, he said, I know that you are descendants of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me, talking to the Pharisees, because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you've heard from your father. It's really heating up now. And Jesus is saying, brought it right out there. He said, I brought you the word of truth. I brought you the word literally from my Father in heaven, your creator, the one you say you're worshiping. I've brought that word. I've opened up my heart, my life. I've shown you who the Father is. I speak of what I have seen with my Father, and you do what you've seen from your Father. He said, I know that you are descendants of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. A great question, a great reflection in Lent. Is Jesus finding a place in us? He's the Word of God. Is his word, the whole counsel of his word, the affirmations, including the warnings and everything Jesus brings, is it finding room in my heart? Is it finding room in your heart? Just a searching inventory of our heart is what Lent's all about, to entrust ourselves to God's mercy. God bless you.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.